Parshas Tetzaveh. Being that it's not Parshas Zohar, have time this year for Tetzaveh, quite a few of the other Parshas. Let's see what points we get to and what new things can come out that aren't usually said by these Parshas. So first of all, Parshas Tetzaveh usually brings to light the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in this week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha, Parsha Kisisa. Moshe Rabbeinu says, all the Mefarshim say that he said, Mecheni no Mesifrecha, please erase me from your Sefer if you are going to destroy Kal Yisrael. And Makas Taf Yud, it says, Akilas Chacham, a Chacham's curse is a Skyim, even on tonight. And therefore, here's the Kiyum. The problem is that Kisisa with the Ego is written after Tetzaveh. Not only that, this is really a Zohar, and the Zohar is of the opinion that Tetzaveh was before, and therefore, in other words, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was erased from the sixth parasha is a Zohar, and he himself is saying that, but Tetzaveh is before. How does that work? If the Torah was written all the way at the end of the Midbar, so fine, okay, no. So you'll say that at least it works out this way. But if the Torah was written Megillus, which means that the Torah was written as it went along, now obviously not while Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were alive, but that once Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai, as each thing happened, he wrote it down, so he wrote Tetzaveh and did his write his name because they already knew the Ego was going to happen. That doesn't really make sense. Of course. She ended up dying. That's why she died. Yeah. That's what it says. So now why specifically this week's parasha? So some say because Mecheni no Misifrecha is like Sefer Chaf. In other words, and this is the 20th parasha. This is the 20th parasha of the Torah. So that's why that could sort of make sense. And of why it's this week's parasha. There are those who say that Asher Kasavta, the word right, Mecheinina erase me, Misifcha Asher Kasavta, from your Sefer, which you have written, that Asher Kasavta stands for Aleph is that Moshe is not found in Atam Nitzavim, Shin, he's not found in Shoftim, Reish, he's not found in Re'eh, Chaf, he's not found in Kiseitse, Tuf, Tetzaveh, Beis, he's not found in the entire Sefer Bereishis, and Tuf for Ekev Tishmaon. So you have to know exactly what the reasons are for those week's parashas. Specifically, why this week's parasha? So the Panach Razabal Turim Torah Aruch all explain that Tetzaveh is speaking about the Nyanim of the Big Day Kohen Gadol, and the Gemara Zvachim says that Moshe lost to the Kahuna, so therefore maybe it's like a busha for him to be said in this week's parasha that he lost the opportunity to have these begadim. So Mamela, that might be a reason specifically why not this one. The Zecher Yitzchak interestingly says that Mesifrecha is Kigoin Sefer Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Moshe's name is not written in the Haggadah. He says the Gematria of Mechinina Mesifrecha is 559, and May Haggadah Shel Tesof the Pesach is also Gematria 559. I think they shot them why Moshe Rabbeinu might not be in the Haggadah, because it was all the Eivishter, even what Moshe spoke was Shechinim and the rest of the Great Night. But anyways, that could be another thing coming out of that. And Echonami, because it's not like you have to know why he's not in any of those parshas. It's just saying a nice thing that comes out. Mechinim and Sifcha is really those seven parshas or seven things he's not in Be'etzim.
Who says that from?
I think. What?
How do you find that?
You chap that he's not. If you know the Torah, like was being said by the Shir tonight, if you know the Torah, then you chap that Moshe Rabbeinu is not in those psukim. Okay, fine. The Goyim's Masbir that Zayin Adar is always going to fall in the week of Parshat Tetzaveh. In other words, some dates, no matter what they are, if you're born the end of the week, sometimes it could be your Bar Mitzvah Parsha could be this way, that way. Zayin Adar will always have Tetzaveh. It's a Parsha. Okay, maybe that's a little bit of a right. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit should be Zayin Adar Aleph. because now Tetzaveh is with that. So that's sort of like a remez that he's in this week, even though his name wasn't written. Another thing the Gaon says is that the Siman at the end of this week's parsha is Michal, in other words, that there's 101 psukim. The Gaon says in his Kishmak way of being able to figure things out, he says if you take the hidden, right, Moshe Rabbeinu is not in this week's parsha, if you take the hidden letters of the name Moshe, in other words, Mem is, what's the hidden letter of Mem? Another Mem. What's the hidden letter of Shin? Yud and a Nun. What's the hidden letter of Hey? Aleph. So you take the Mem, Yud, Nun, Aleph, altogether that's 101. Another like Rem is that the hidden of Moshe's name is Moshe Rabbeinu's hidden this week's parsha. Again, also trying to, I guess, stick in Moshe Rabbeinu that even though it doesn't say his name, but he still had a Shaychus to this week's parsha. Okay, fine. More on Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe also another remez, and Arachayim HaKadosh says, V'ata Tetzaveh, he's Masber, that all the Dalgolios are Kneged the Gimel Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then the fourth Golos is Kneged Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says the Arachayim very powerfully, will not be Golos. Moshe Rabbeinu does not want to take us out of this Golos, since it's Kneged him, because he gave Torah Mitzvahs, and if we're not doing it, says Arachayim, well, then why is he interested in taking us out of this galus, which is Kinegan him, whatever that means exactly, but a very powerful Arachayim HaKadosh. What are you going to say?
I'm saying that there's a whole shot that he's like Michal has the same mantra 101, and Michal is, I think, brought down at the end of the parsha of the...
Yeah, that's the similar to this expression.
Yeah.
So what?
Because they're both 101.
Right.
And he was like, when Moshe's in front, and Michal steps back, but when Moshe's back, Michal kicks.
Interesting. Someone today tried telling me that he thinks there's some Shaykhs from Michal also. I didn't know what, but I do happen to know that usually Michal is the Malach that's mentioned as Chasram. There's never anyone over Kal Yisrael, but like,
right.
Michal is sort of our Malach.
So
you look through Navi, and you find Malach Michal a lot as being... Nirmaz too, that it's him. So I hear. So I guess it could be in a way. Boss? I was saying, though, what's called the Zecher Yitzchak says that the gematria of Mesivcha is 5, Mechenino Mesivcha is 559, and 559 is also gematria of Mehagada Shel Tesva up to Pesach, and otherwise, Moshe's name is not written in the Agada.
Was Yasher
said
in the Agada? No. There's Nishma.
Correct.
Why doesn't...
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Ozzy Ashton. Nishma was saying, right then, we came out of the train.
Didn't you say right by the.
Yeah, I'm so 7 years later. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Fine. Speak out a couple usual vertilach, but just to mention them as they're being said, we're compared to Isaiah in 6 parasha. I did not have a chance to look up the Medrash, but I believe the Medrash compares us to Isaiah. That Mazayizeh, that it doesn't give its best oil until you let it sit correctly and then give it the correct crush and to get it out, kach klal Yisrael, that it doesn't bring out the best of them until we actually give them Yisurim to give them the correct push, and that's how it brings out the best of them. Many, many different Torah about that Nikuda, also obviously about the Torah, and Rashi says, Lahalis ner tamid madligat shtei shal heves leil meileh, famous Torah Torah, that just like the menorah, which is connected to Torah, you had to be madlik until the flame went up on its own, so too a Rebbe needs to be able to teach a Talmud, not just give him and leave him on its own, but fakir, he has to stay with him until the flame is going up, the Torah is going up from the Talmud on its own as well. It's also what's learned from the Talmud of the Menorah, and Talmud doesn't have to be 24/7. Rashi brings out Talmud means every night. It's still considered Talmud. So to anyone who has their Seidah Drum that they do always is also a Mila of this Tmidus. I think Rabbi Rochem said, Mashgiach Rabbi Rochem said that anywhere there's a way to do Shnai Mikra of doing an Aliyah every single day. So Rucham said, if someone goes through the entire Torah like that for an entire year, he's muftach that he's not going to do any averis. But if someone's such a gecheshmenta guy that he's able to work it out like that, and he thinks about it, in order to sell like that every single day of the year, you got to be very gecheshmenta. So, you know, bringing out, I think there's also a certain amilo of Tamid that there's an always that you keep to work out your Seder every day, whether it's the daf, whether it's a certain tefillah that you're mitzvahing in, a certain midah that you do every single day, certain mitzvah, whatever it is that definitely falls into this midah of Tamidus of always. So based on this Ner Tamid, there's a Medrash Tanchuma that says that the Neiros in the Beis HaMikdash were lit from Rosh Hashanah till Rosh Hashanah. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik asked the Imre Emes in Varsha, well, how were they Mekayim Hadlakas Neris? There was what? Not Hanukkah. Always, every single day. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash says that it always stayed lit for the entire year. Maybe once a year it went out when it became Rosh Hashanah. I don't know exactly what that lush means. That from Rosh Hashanah. How are they made? There's a mitzvah. Block a snare, seemingly, isn't there? Very good. They could all go into a chelik of this kasha. So the Emre Emes answered. That's part of it. That's exactly what's going on. What's going on here? You have a nace, yet there's a mitzvah. Nace is beautiful, but we want a mitzvah. What's going on? Well, they say, Ain't some Chanei says, don't be same, but if you see it going in front of you, what are you supposed to do? So Imram has answered that in Beit Zadav Chof, it says that your Chayiv Havara, your Chayiv lighting on Shabbos Yontim, if you add oil. Adding oil is considered lighting. So Imram has wanted to answer that they were maybe they were Mekayim Ayideh that they added oil.
They didn't need to.
Was?
Maybe
they didn't have to. Then maybe the oil will keep going, so therefore, let me add in. That could be the way I'm coming. So I can't add flame. The flame's there already.
I don't know. But then the cutting metal light it every day. No,
it didn't. So technically, this would be saying that no, the cutting metal didn't light every single day. He went up and just poured oil. Reb Chaim himself answered that there is no mitzvahs hadlaka. There is no mitzvahs hadlakas menoira. The mitzvah of every single day is Hatavas Neris. He brought a raya. It's a sticker of Chaim and Sefer. Basically, a zar, the Rambam before she makes a cheshbon that a zar, a non-kayin, can light the menorah. How? You take the menorah out of the heichal, you bring it into the azara, the non-kayin, the zar, lights the menorah, and then you bring it back in, you put it in the heichal. The mitzvah is just that the menorah should be lit. There's no mitzvah to light it every single day. There's a mitzvah that the menorah should be lit. Lit is in the heichal. So no, the zar, because a zar is all, a non-kain is also chayv misa for doing it. So what would be it? No, there's no problem. He's not doing the mitzvah. He's just getting light on there. Now when it gets in the heichal, it should be lit. There is, though, said Reb Chaim, a mitzvah every single day, your medayik and the psuk, whatever, of hatovas haneirais, which means the cleaning, the preparing, the cutting of the wicks, the changing of the wicks if they needed to be changed, or the changing of the oil, so that they could have done every single day. Agav, this, they got into a shmuz also then of how are they mekayim on Hanukkah. This would also be an answer to that, because, oh, great, it's stayed lit. Maybe this nace did not exist in Bayashani, but at least during Hanukkah did. How are they mekayim on Lakas Neris during Hanukkah? This is the same hak and same halachah that went into it, of that the Imre Emes is trying to say that at least they added oil.
How are you making with the wick if they're still lit?
So either you snip off maybe a little bit of the black, or maybe you're worried it's going to go out, so maybe the blackened oil at the bottom, you switch. The Rams, though, would be a little shver, like exactly like, about the adding of the oil, because they had no oil to add. Pasha says they put in all of it, according to the sheets, that they put it all in on the first day, so they had nothing left to add, so the Rams would be a little shver from Hanukkah.
My question was, if the that it had to be lit, you're telling us it doesn't belong, the mitzvah doesn't belong to anyone, it's just the mitzvah that
correct
it be lit,
correct,
but doesn't it have to have a causation to be lit and somebody responsible for that?
So very good, but that's what it seems to be saying, that the one who gets that done is not being looked at as the one who did it. If the mitzvah was do it, a non-kain does it, sorry, he's out of this world, he dies. But since the mitzvah is that it just should be lit, so the fact that a non-kain got it lit and it wasn't even lit in the heichal, that's not part of the mitzvah. True, obviously there's a cause and effect, that's always going to happen. There's a similar thing as well, a whole thing that we're not getting into now, but by eating of kachim. Is there a mitzvah to eat karbanis, or is there a mitzvah that karbanis should be eaten? It's very possible that kainim have a mitzvah, but Yisraelim, for instance, that bring a shlomim, their karban, that they get some of the meat, it could be that. There's no machlekes Rashi Rambam, it could be there's no mitzvah for them to eat it, just that their karban should end up being eaten. Okay, won't get into that now, but just a similar thing also of that, Beis Halevi. Anyways, fine. A very interesting Maral Diskin. Pasuk says, Parakha Ches Pasuk Aleph, Ata Krevelecha, bring to you close as Aaron Achichav, as Bon of Itai, Aaron and his sons, Mitoich Bnei Yisrael, L'chan Eli, and then it lists them. Aaron, Nadav, Aviu, Allah, Zri, Samar, Bnei Aaron. Why, once it says Banav, is it going and listing all four of his sons? Why are we doing that? So Rav Diska wants to answer, until now, the Avoida was B'Bachairais. The B'Bachairais are the one who did the Avoida. And then they became possible in the Egel. Nadav was a Bachar, right? He was Aaron's oldest. He didn't do the Egel. He didn't become possible. Kamash Malan, that even so, he needed a Naya Kedusha. It went away from the Bechayrim then, and then rested on the Kayanim anew with this new Kedusha and new Mashiach. So therefore, it's not like, oh, Nadav continued straight through. It stopped from him and then came to him because he was a Kayan getting Kedusha. That's why it goes ahead and repeats them. The Ibn Ezra interestingly says, perhaps Aaron had other sons except these. Besides these, Be'emes, the Gemara Yuma says that Be'emes, Aaron had many sons that should have been burnt because of his chet, and Hashem was merachim on him that it was only Nadav Aviyu. Good, what's it called? The way, obviously, Pashup Shad explains it later in Sefer Dvarim is that Gamba Aaron is son of Hashem. Hashem also got mad at Aaron. Hashem, Moshe tells Chal Yisrael after Aaron died, he speaks out that really Aaron should have lost all his sons. If I worked out with my teal that he only lost half. In other words, that he had four and two. So that's obviously the Pashup Shad. This is seemingly that he might have had more. Okay. Also another just a mentioning that people speak out. Rashi by the Big Day Kahuna speaks out about the Ephod that it was like an apron. Ha'Ephod also commits sinner shel nashim, like ladies rechve susim that ride on horses. I think it's a famous Musarvard said, Rashi knows what ladies are sitting wearing, riding on the horses, that he was able to figure out exactly and make this sushtel. I think they speak out that Rashi, it was an MS story that Rashi happened to got knocked or something like that and realized that this is what it was, and that's what he chopped what the 8 foot looked like. And you could tell soon to that. That also what's called a famous story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that with the grasshopper, that he was learning Chagavim about grasshoppers, and there was a part that he didn't chop, and all of a sudden Hashem had fly through the window, grasshopper on the table. I think they say more of the chiddush is that he was done and it went away, and then he realized that he still didn't chop one thing, so he said, bring it back, or something like that, and it came back. It could be this is good drug. I don't know. I think they shtel too, though, that what's go that the Chassam Sefer had a similar maisa with, no, help me, let's go, Rabbi Markowitz, with some Zoyna came to him, was in front, and something admitted that she did something, and whatever, and she left screaming at the Chassam Sefer, and she came down, went down the steps, she exploded on the step, fell down the steps, and died or something, and they made the step gold. This is Zichr Gedruckt Maisel Chassam Sefer. I think based on that, they want to make Rechaim Kievsky also his window still want to do something to it. Okay, anyways, fine. What's that one? Maybe that's what I'm mixing up. I thought it's Maisel with Chassam Sefer. I thought it was Chassam Sefer. Okay, maybe it was that. Maybe it was that. Okay. Very good. Exactly. Okay, moving on to the Chayshin. First of all, most people think, like, I don't know, the Chayshin were like huge. Chayshin, first of all, was Zeres Arkay, Zeres Rachbay. My hands might be a little small, but this is all we're dealing with. First of all, very small thing. Secondly, a mistake I made. I remember I asked my Rebbe in ninth grade. It says Aliba. You think about it, the Chayish is not really Aliba. Also, the Avnate for the regular Kernet. I remember my Rebbe explained that Aliba doesn't have to mean specifically your heart, right? Your heart gives you Chachma, whatever that means. It means over here, this area in the body is connected. That's why that could work out. And not only that, the Shreya's also people think like the Chayish as like a whole gold plate. Yes, it had the Psile Hazov, like it explained, Rashi explains throughout this six parsha and explains in Parsha Vayakub Kudei that they would melt it down, they would cut it, they would weave it, but it was a woven material piece. Yes, it obviously had the Avnei Chayshin on it, which maybe were heavy, but the Chayshin itself was material. Yes, we're about to discuss the 12 stones right now. Dasakanim says that on all the stones, each stone was written the borders of the Shvatim so that no one would be Ma'ar. Besides the fact that you know that Moshe Rabbeinu said it, the Gerel itself, the raffle itself said it, it speaks out later in Sefer Bamidbar, and it was also Al Pi Hashem by the Urim V'Tumim that lit up. But also, I guess you have this, the what's called the Das Kenim is being masbid. You had the, really this fourth way of knowing where the Gvulas were.
Why did
you said it. Okay, good. I guess. Different Shatim, different Midrashim, Akoponim. Gemara in Yuma and Gimel Beis explains that the names of the Shvatim and the letters lit up so you would know what the answer is. Says the Gemara, there's not a Tzadi. Answers the Gemara that the names of the Avos were there also. You have Yitzchak. Frech the Gemara, there's no Tess. Answers the Gemara, it's a Shifting Yeshurim. Why is the Gemara asked Tzadi before Tess? I mean, we should know how to go through the Aleph Beis. Well, why didn't Necheshman that first? So the Ritva sort of is matzah the kasha. Doesn't really say much. The Yerushalmi also asks, what's it called? The Yerushalmi Agav asks the kasha from Ches and Kof, which are also missing. You get up through the names of the Avos. One asks that. There's a pshat that the Avezin in Ponovich, Ramesha Yitzchak Halevi Segel, said that the names. The names of the stones were also written on these stones. Because like it says the names of these stones. He's saying that they were written on there also. So you write all that out. So then be'etzem, you get oidem pitta. So you really have the test already. So that's why I wouldn't ask straight from the test right away. The only shaila was sadi. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara. This was the habmi of the Gemara. The Gemara answers no. You didn't understand. The names weren't written on there. The names of the stones were not written on there. Rather, you had the Avos to be Mamali, most of these letters you're missing. Once, now you're missing. Oidem Pitta, you don't have that on it. Now it becomes Shver. Where do you have the test from? That's why it answers the Shifty Yishron. He's really come to answer another Kasha, that the Lashon was, Va'avon Oshon Yisrael. Well, it didn't happen. He's coming to answer that it says that the stone should be Al Shema Yisrael. That's technically what it says. And Rashi says, it's backwards. It should really say that the Shema Yisrael were on the stones. So.
When questions were asked and responses were elicited, doesn't it say somewhere that Moshe turned himself around while he asked the question and they revealed the response?
By the Urim Batumim?
By the Urim.
You're saying that the asker didn't see. Yes. The asker was not right. The asker was turned not facing, I believe.
Not facing.
The Kohen Gadol himself would say what the letters were, I think. Something like that. What lit up. Correct. I think the asker was not necessarily present, right? Takaponim, he was trying to say that the Havmin of the Gemara was that maybe Havana Tiyan Shmei Smei Saw, that literally, maybe read the Pasuk literally, that the Avonim, maybe, in other words, the names of the Avonim should be on top of the names of Bnei Yisrael. Right? That would make sense. And you have the names of Bnei Yisrael, then have the name of the stones on top. Answers the Gemara, no such thing. Those weren't there. The names of the Avos were there. That's how you found that. I was trying this actual Pasuk, go back to the regular shot that Rashi comes up with from Chazal, that it means that you read it backwards, that the Shmei Yisrael were on the Avonim. That's how he was working that out. Okay. It says that the Pamoinim and the Rimoinim, that's how you would hear when the Kohen Gadol was coming in. Nishma Koyle Bivoye La Kodesh. The Tzar Amar is Masbir, that he should go, he's going in with Rishus, with permission, and not suddenly. And this is to show the Milas HaTorah, that it is written and has in it Chachma, Roiv Peninim, Rabim, Umusarim, Bederech Eretz. In other words, that the Torah teaches you how to live. This is a very Derech Eretz thing, that you should make sure, that, you know, some people have a minute right before they go in a house, even if it's their own house, give like a slight knock, let people know you're home, don't scare them. It's covenant and it's Derech Eretz. What? Okay, say there. Minute, like. Okay. Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachai, our Masbir, that the Pamonim and the Rimonim were there to make noise in order to get the Malachim out of there. the Taz Yishonim and Yuma says that the Kohel was a covered for Hashem, that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't just come in without Rishus. Okay, now so really bring this out. Let's just mention one more thing for a second. That it says by the Me'il, right, was blue and it had a collar. Should have a collar. You should not rip it. You should not tear it. And it's a lav. Agav, this is a lav. It's Lisa Santa Terra. You can't rip. Could be maybe any of the begotten, but specifically this. The Merinoyam says, B'shem the Medrash, that when the Kohen Gadol would go in on Yom Kippur to be makter the Keteres, the Satan would try to stop him, and he would try to pull him by his me'il, and therefore we made it very strong so it wouldn't rip. Very good. The obvious kasha is he wasn't wearing the me'il going into the Lifnei V'Lifnim, and the kasha was. Okay. What do you mean? No, the Sultan's trying to stop him, not pull him. Not pull him to his. No, he's trying to stop him.
I understand that.
Yeah.
He had a chance.
He saying, let him just.
The Sultan's trying to hold him back.
Kids are. So, no, but also, what also, you ask the same kasha here is that what's the thing with the Pamayim and Mayim that in coming, no one should be there, but the whole thing. He's not wearing that on Yom Kippur either. Right? I'm sorry. He's not wearing it. Lefnai v'lefnim. It says you're wearing the what's go, right? You wear the. Seemingly, most people think of this as a Yom Kippur Dikah thing. That he's coming out of Kodesh and he shouldn't die. V'chulu, it seems to be Yom Kippur Dikah. So, second, we'll get to it in half a second. First of all, the Evan Ezra says that in Achrei Misksayim by Kodesh, it doesn't say the rest of the Begadim because it's Samech on them that are already said in Nishma Kaylei V'yal Kodesh. You have to know exactly what this means. Seemingly, the Evan Ezra is suggesting he might have been wearing more than the Tzal Begadim. The Ramban in this week's parasha says there's a God by the Chayshen that Hashem sees it on Yom Kippur, and the Malachim try to be Pegeya, and Hashem holds them back. Frek the Ramban, he didn't go in with the Chayshen. So he answers that even the Oyel Mayit, which you Medayik in the Pasuk, we just said the Kodesh really is also for the Mishkan itself at large, where the Menorah Shulchan and the Mizbeach Hazav were, and therefore, and it really is said over there, there's a din over there also that no one can be there when the Kohen Gadol is being Makir of the Keteres, so therefore that could be working for the Me'il, it could be working for the Moinim, remind him also. The Bris Menucha says that it was really on Yom Kippur, it was a Me'il Lavan with Pamina reminder, very interesting.
It's supposed to be gold, not reminded of any gold.
Yeah, yeah. No, but Lamaisa seemingly is the Lamaisa seems to see that the Dal Begadim were Lavan and Zahu. So he's saying that at least. Oh, you're saying that the Pamina reminders, how do you have Zav? That's what you're asking. Right.
Okay, good.
You're right. The Bris Menucha says, Malon with Pamayim. Reb Chaim answers very interestingly that he went in first with all his begadim, or maybe afterwards to see that everything was mesudar. Chaim Kanievsky, not me. And the Shire Iron answers also that it was going on the Keteres of Mizbeach HaPanim. It's a very, very nice Zvart.
One of the times when you switch banks to regular windows on the Avodas, that's what they're talking about.
Right, I guess at some point. It's a very nice Zvart from a barrel. There's Machlokes Rashi Rabban. Rashi says that the way it looked is you had Pamayim, Rimayim. The question is that there's machlekes how the me'il looked. Was the me'il like tzitzis? In other words, like you think of the big Bnei Brak tzitzis that go in all the way. Was it like that? Or whatever they wear in Mexico also, you know, like the front
the
back.
The palm on is the bell.
The bell on palm branch, yeah.
And it was every other.
Yeah, that's Rashi. Or was it all the way around? So if it was all the way around, fine. So that seems to work with Rashi, that you have palm and zav, palm and riba, it works. But if it's only if it's only like tzitzis, two sides. So how does that work exactly? It gets into a shaila in Gemara and Tzvachim. How many hamayim were there? How many remainder were there? You have to, if there's one sheet that it could be that there was one more of the other ones, then it works out. But there is a sheet that no, there was exactly equal. So if it's exactly equal, then you don't end up. Where is your saviv? I guess. Where's your saviv? Oh, no, one second. Sorry, one second.
Was there tzitzis on it? No. If it's two-sided.
Don't know.
Nobody holds it, right?
Don't know. Not sure. We'll get to this in a second. The Ramban explains that a very interesting question. The Ramban says, what's pshat that you would need these pamoinim like this? I'm sorry. Why do you need the remoinim? What would be pshat of it to just have a remind on its own? Says the Ramban. If it's just to be there, maybe make it like a nice apple or whatever. A very interesting question. You have a rivet that's like this also by the Mizbech, the Moshe's Mizbech that he made in the Mishkan was an Amma. And there comes a lot of problems. The Gemara's have to work out how all the spaces were on the Mizbech. There's a rivet Taurus Karim that says, I don't know why Moshe Rabbeinu made that Mizbech so small. It's an interesting question. Whatever. Anyways, Kaponim, the Ramban explains that the Pamoinim were made as such that they were see-through. The woven strings were not woven so close together that you were able to... That's what held the bells inside of them. It was one thing. So really, there's a pasuk in Pekudei that's meduyik like the Ramban. Because it's when it's saying about the big day kahuna in Pekudei, it says that they made them ill. It says, "Vayasu Ashulam il Rimoni Tchis Vargomus Ashani Mashzar Vayasu Pamayne Zov Tar Vayitzos Pamayne Mesech Rimoniim." They put the Pamayneim in the Rimoni Ashulam il Zov Mesech Rimoniim. Seemingly, he put it inside. Pamayne Vrimoni Ashulam il Zov. Seemingly, that would be like the Ramban. Rebbe Salvechik wanted to explain that perhaps Funk Fakar is Bedoyik like Rashi. It says they made Pamayne Zov Tars. Right? They made the bells. They put the bells Bisoich Harimayim Al Shulam El Sav Bisoich Harimayim. And then it says it again. He wants to say that what's saying like Rashi is that, and right, it really, right, the pasuk before says, they made Rimayim. They put them on the Begadim. Then they made pomegranates, and it says they put the bells. They had left spaces when they put the pomegranates. Now they took the bells and put it amongst each space. So it doesn't have to be the saviv. Didn't have to be. Maskim. The last one maybe wasn't saviv. The point was that Abish is telling you how to set it up. Set it up in a way that first you put all the cloth pomegranates, and then you're putting the bells amongst them, and that's the vayitznos apomegranim seicharimaynim pomerimen pomerimen al shulei hamil. It's Bris Kahuna, something like that. Who's the safer? Bris Menuba. Safer like that.
Instead of saying so.
The this. Rabbeinu Bachai says that it's a nace that the Kainim did not die in the Beis HaMikdash. Think about what they're wearing, and Pashtus things should have been cold. They're sitting on a cold stone floor. They're wearing just the Kutainis.
Gemara says a special doctor.
Bus?
Gemara says a doctor just forgot.
I hear, okay. And Hagubas, now bring out more than nace. You ready?
What?
Yeah. Kain, right?
Yeah, that's true, the same
for the cult.
You're set.
Only hand.
Good. Hand. Good. Maskim. That's at night. What you're saying the whole day.
Sitting working in the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, end off with the Ketores. Right, every single day. The Gemara in Yuma says, Chavav Pais Chadashim LeKetores, that only new people would line up for the raffle for the Ketores because you would get rich from it. So therefore, they want to give everyone a chance. The Medrash Rabbah connects Keteris to Mila. And the Ramah says, in the name Maril, that a Sandik is like the Akhtaris Keteris. And therefore, you should not do two kids from one Mishpacha by one Sandik. In other words, that just like the Keteris, you didn't do two. So too, you don't do this. And Ejbi Huda says that this is not written in the Gemara, and therefore in Poland, we don't have that meaning, and therefore you could do two in one mishpacha. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says that you shouldn't do two unless that kid Chas V'Shalom dies. The guy in Abir Agra asks on the Ramah, why specifically in one mishpacha? If it's like Akhtaris Keteris, maybe you should never, once you're Sandik, once in your life, you should never be Sandik again. And also, the Tzustel from Keteris to Mila is generally said because you'll get rich. Says the guy, and I never saw anyone get rich off Sandikais. Chassam Sofer says, that's what the guy says. Chassam Sofer says that it's very possible that the reason they don't get rich is because maybe Be'etzem Chet is being Geirim Stamazai. Without the Sandikais, maybe they would have had more Yisurim, and Sandikais is being Megan from that. Or maybe it's someone who's rich, maybe it's a school that he shouldn't get poor. The Teres Chaim says, I think it's Batsim Rukveger that they used to say, because people don't do the full Sandikais. The full Sandikais is Sandik, and then the holding it, B'shas, the Bracha, is the continuation of the Sandikais. I saw the Rukveger inside once, and I've seen this in practice. I believe Ramichel Feinstein, the son-in-law of Briskerov, had a Chiddush, that Kvater is also a chelik of Sandikais. And what's called by my Rashiv is his son-in-law, by his youngest son's bris, Ramichel did all three. I don't know if he ended up getting rich after that, Bakoponim, that there's a chelik on the of the Sandikais. Bakoponim, you have Rukveger, and I've seen people do it to keep Bedafka Sandikais into the Amida Lebrachas Agutin Shabbos.